The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Joined by Eoin O'Brien, who's the Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and party spokesperson on housing. Eoin, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
All of this interlinks, doesn't it? Where we build our houses and apartments, where our facilities are, and trying to get from A to B.
It does, absolutely. And as somebody who's a daily bus user, the key to encouraging people to use public transport more where it suits them is for it to be efficient, for it to be safe, and for it to be affordable. And the problem is, whether you live in rural Ireland or in many parts of urban Ireland, public transport doesn't meet those criteria. Where I live, I have to say, here in Clondalkin, I have very good high-frequency transport into the city centre. But if I worked in the west of the city or the north of the city, I'd have to get connecting buses. It would take much longer. So we really need much more joined up thinking in terms of making it as easy, as safe and as affordable for people to use public transport. Nobody should be forced into any mode of transport. People should have choice. But for far too many people right now, choice isn't available. And that's the real problem, I think, with the debate.
Yeah. And the other thing is a lot of the public transport, and I know BusConnex is going to emphasize this even more, it's A to B type of public transport. I mean, there is no bus that goes around the M50. So, for example, if you could approach the M50 from Clondalkin and get on something that would bring you to the Dundrum Shopping Centre, just a loop around, you can do it by car, but you cannot do it by public transport.
So there are two positives about Bus Connects. And again, I'm somebody who uses the buses, so I deal with them regularly. The first is, finally, after more than a decade, we have integrated ticketing so that you can get on a bus, pay for your ticket, and then have an interchange either with another bus or another form of public transport within 90 minutes. The second thing is they have started to introduce orbital routes. So it is now possible, finally, to be able to go from Blanchardstown through Clondalkin or Lucan and out into Tallaght. And they've started to introduce local routes. So, for example, I live in Clondalkin Village. My constituency office is in Lucan Village. And there is finally a bus there. I think one of the frustrating things is BusConnex promised a complete reset of the bus network in Dublin, but it's been very slowly implemented. So, for example, I'm a beneficiary of some of it, but other aspects of the change have yet to take place. And that means it's quite disjointed. But, for example, we don't have a BusConnex for the Greater Dublin area, the commuter belt area. We don't have a BusConnex yet for Cork, although the public consultation is ongoing. So even when there are good, positive changes in public transport, far too often they're too slow, they're too piecemeal. And that's why I think, I mean, I was listening to the people who had texted in. And that's why I think you get a lot of frustration, because there are actually a lot of people out there who would really like to use public transport if it was efficient, if it was safe and it was affordable. And for far too many people, it isn't. So I think we could do much, much better. And I think if we did that, people's experience of and willingness to use public transport would be increased.
Now, of course, your brief is housing. And I mean, that is central to the facility with which we live our lives. I mean, if you live close to where you work, if you can buy or rent a house, which is convenient to all the things you want to do, your schools and so on, life becomes a lot easier. But we have a deficit in our housing completions, even though the minister is saying this year will be better than last year.
Well, first of all, we don't know if this year will be better than last year. There was a very significant spike in commencement notices submitted by developers and builders in April. That was before the initial deadline for the development levy and water connection waiver was to expire. And I've been talking to a lot of people in industry, including builders, developers and material suppliers. And they're saying that, in fact, many of those commencement notices won't actually properly commence until later this year into next year. So most independent observers are indicating that we're probably going to have the same total output of housing this year than last year. And of course, that's about half what we need, according to the Housing Commission, who've published a very important report. But also we see today the CSO released the latest figures for May to show house prices have risen yet again, 8% in the year. They're now 10% higher than they were at the peak of the Celtic Tiger. And in fact, the CSO's report emphasises the fact that even though the total number of homes, new homes being built is increasing, the total number of new homes coming on the market for regular working people to buy is not increasing. It's remained relatively static from 2019 to the present. So what we're not getting is enough new homes being built. Those homes that are being built are too expensive. And then the minister also failed to mention that the output of both social and affordable homes in the first quarter of this year, the fine print information, which was buried in the detail of all of the report, glossy report he published earlier this week, is embarrassingly low. Only 158 new build social homes out of a target of 9,300 by the end of the year. And then on the affordable housing, and there's a link between the government's failure to deliver affordable homes and rising house prices, they only delivered 32 affordable homes to purchase, and some of those, as we've seen in Oscar Traynor Road, aren't actually affordable, and only 24 affordable rental homes in the first quarter. And again, the rents for those are actually now higher than rents for existing renters in the private rental sector.
The Minister for Public Expenditure yesterday, in saying we need all sorts of accommodation to be provided, whether it's for rental only or for purchase and so on, but he did concede that so many of the new apartment blocks are being put on the market for rent only, consigning many people who had aspirations in those areas, maybe to buy an apartment, consigning them to being renters perhaps for life. How can that be changed?
Well, first of all, the measures that were introduced by government to limit the sale of houses and duplexes into the buy-to-let sector needs to be extended to apartments. Local authorities need to be given the permission, or the power, should I say, when granting planning permissions, to determine actually whether it's houses, duplexes or apartments. Does this particular location need more properties for owner occupation, for people to buy, to rent, or a mixture? That would be a key part of our planning system.
Yeah.
But actually, the single biggest need at the moment is for affordable homes, because whether it's new homes or second-hand homes, the stock that's there is not affordable. And it is government who has the primary responsibility for delivering affordable homes.
Now in the past, John, and you're a student of our housing history, you know, you had Crampton built blocks of flats in this Dublin city centre, which have stood the test of time. You've had all sorts of developments over the years, some of which faltered and failed and had to be redeveloped, like O'Devany Gardens. So what is to be done by local authorities or by central government, and you hope to be part of central government in time, post an election? What is to be done to get local authorities to build apartments and homes where they're needed, and to build them at prices that developers say they cannot achieve?
Well, thankfully, the Housing Commission, an independent commission made up of people who actually deliver houses in the public and private sector, have published a very, very detailed report that answers that question independently for us. And what it says is, first of all, we need a dramatic increase in both the funding for and the targets for local authorities and approved housing bodies to deliver social homes, traditional council homes, but as well as that, affordable homes for people to rent or buy. They're actually saying that we would need 20% of all housing in the state to be public housing, social and affordable. Yeah. That would mean you'd need to more than double the output. You'd need to be moving to 20 to 25,000 public
homes.
Okay,
but how's it done? How's it done? So, if you're running a local authority and you're told that you've got to provide so many units every year, be they houses or apartments, and they're to be provided to rent to the population of your particular council area, how do you go about practically doing that?
You do it in the way that the private sector does, in the sense that you have land, you get your planning permission, you have your finance from central government or from the Housing Finance Agency, and you build it. But the crucial thing is, for example, if you want to take affordable purchase, we've long argued that the cost of building the unit is only half the actual market price in the private sector. So if the public sector delivers that home, you can net out the cost of land, site servicing, development levies and waivers. And you can actually sell the house or the apartment at up to 30% of a discount of what would otherwise be the market price. That means you can deliver homes to purchase, not just in Dublin, but outside, at prices from 250 to less than 300,000 euros. Likewise with affordable rental, if you structure the finance of the affordable rental in such a way as they do in other jurisdictions, where the state or not-for-profit organisations build the developments on public land or acquire them from private developers, and if you structure the finance over 60 years, you can bring rents down closer to that 1,000 euro point, which is key. Not what we're seeing at the moment in the LDA or government cost rental schemes, where rents are now pushing up to 1,600, 1,700, and in one case, 1,800 euros for standard apartments. So it's not rocket science, Pat. We did this in the past, in the 30s, 40s and 50s, when the state had less money, had less experience and less infrastructure. And nobody is saying that local authorities can build things cheaper. The cost of building is the cost of building. But the public sector and the not-for-profit sector can treat non-building costs, land, site servicing, levies and utility connections, in a different way.
Yeah, but Owen, if you want to be fair, you've got a lot of people paying a lot of tax. And what you're saying is, well, the cost of land, for example, on that house, it's effectively 60,000 euro. We're going to give that to you free because you're going to get this house at a knockdown price.
Absolutely not. And that's that. This is a really important point, Pat. And we've long argued that, in fact, under our scheme, that land, because of course the person who buys the house doesn't pay for the land, that land remains in public ownership. We give free indefinite use of that land to the homeowner. They can pass that home on to their children and their grandchildren. They own the house and they can do with that house everything that they want. But the land remains public, and that gives us two advantages. One, it means exactly 30 to 100,000 euros can be knocked off the purchase price, because the price of land in Dublin ranges per unit from 30,000 in the suburbs right up to 100,000 in the high density inner urban areas. But it also means that those homes are permanently affordable for every subsequent generation. The big flaw of the current government's affordable housing scheme is, one, the prices aren't affordable. In Dunfermline Gardens, we're now looking at prices of 400 to 500,000 euros if you want to own the home outright. But then the home is sold into the private market and it ceases to be an affordable home if the owner sells.
So is there some sort of lien on that affordable home that is built with that subsidy? That lien stays with the government. So if, for example, you want to emigrate, you want to flog this particular house that you've bought with this government subsidy built in, you pay back the government.
No, the way it would work is when you buy the house, you sign a legally binding covenant where the state gives you and your children and grandchildren free and indefinite use of that public asset of the land. And when you want to sell the house at whatever stage, you sell it to another affordable purchaser at the future affordable purchase.
So you're limited as to who you might sell the house to?
You are, but I suppose the trade-off here is, one, you're able to buy a home in Dublin at 250, 260, 270,000 euros. But also, the public good of that home is intergenerational, so that we're building up a stock of privately owned, privately traded, but permanently affordable homes. That's really, really important, because
has
right
this been
now,
done anywhere else?
Yeah, so when Ocúlán first developed,
any other countries. At the kind of scale you're talking about.
Absolutely. For example, if you take Singapore, right, and Singapore, as you know, is no socialist utopia, 80 to 90% of land, including land on which private residential homes are built, is publicly owned. And the value of doing that is, of course, you remove kind of speculation in land and future land profits from the pricing of your housing, both in the public and the private sector. You reduce all of those costs. And what you get is much, much more affordable homes, not just for one purchaser, but every subsequent generation. And the big challenge in Dublin at the minute, if you talk to businesses, if you talk to public sector providers of vital public services, they're all telling us that the delivery of affordable homes is the single biggest social and economic need that we have. This government cannot deliver those homes. The few affordable homes they're delivering aren't affordable. The private sector, for very legitimate reasons, are really challenged to deliver large volumes of affordable homes in our inner urban areas. You can see, for example, in Poolbeg, in the SDZ, the Ronan Group and Lion Corps are now looking at prices of 600,000 and 700,000 euros for 2 and 3 bedroom apartments. Only the public sector, with the type of model that we've set out, but with real ambition, with much greater levels of investment and greater targets for local authorities and approved housing bodies, can meet this housing need. In the first quarter of this year, 4 years into this government, they delivered 32 affordable homes to purchase, many at prices over 350 to 400,000 euros. In the 1930s and 40s, we built thousands and thousands of good quality homes for working people, clearing the tenements and transforming the lives of those working families, their subsequent generations, and our cities. We can do it again. What we don't have is a government with the will and the ambition and the levels of investment and targets. And that's why in the next general election, that's going to be the big debate. Do you want more of the same of a government that gives you rising house prices, rising rents, rising homelessness, and anemic delivery of social and affordable homes? Or do you want scale, ambition, and the genuine delivery of tens of thousands of affordable homes?
The polls would suggest, I know the polls are only a snapshot in time, but they've been constantly going down for your party. It would suggest that people simply don't believe you.
I think we have to do much better, Pat, at making it clear how we would make the change. The change in housing, the change in healthcare, the change in childcare, the change in cost of living, etc. And I think the local election was a wake-up call for us, absolutely. But I'm absolutely convinced between now and the general election, and as I've always said, I want a general election sooner rather than later. Between now and that election, people will start focusing very clearly on who they want to lead the next government. And they will be scrutinising the proposals on all of the key issues, including housing. Our job is to do the very best we can to convince them that we have the alternative and the political will and ambition to deliver it. And I think if we do that right, I think we can have a very, very good day in the general election, whether it's in the autumn or next year.
Ona Brin, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.